What all do you think of when you think of image? Do you merely think of your physical appearance? If so, you've touched upon only a small fraction of your image. Image is the whole package, or if you prefer, the whole enchilada. It transcends vital image elements such as your logo, your website, and your email. Each of these matter tremendously, as we pointed out in July's newsletter article, which is available to you via our Facebook page, via LinkedIn, or the Twitter tweet, or via the web page. You see, image includes everything. It includes everything you say and do, and everything that you don't say or do. It's how you present yourself online and offline. It's how you present your company online and offline. It's reflected in the employees you hire, the employees you promote and reward, and the employees you fire. It's reflected by the associations you make, the causes you support, and the content you share. You may dress appropriate to the situation. You may have a great logo that fits with your company brand. You may be quite articulate when you communicate. You may have an awe-inspiring, hyper-engaging website. But if you lack in three image areas that we're going to talk about today, you might as well pack it up. So the first area I want to talk about is insights. No contributions. If you have nothing to contribute to a conversation, then you're just a well-dressed accessory. If you're just going to point out what everyone already knows, then why are you there? This applies online and offline. Did you read an insightful article or post? Share it with your network and tell them what you found insightful about it. Don't just read it. Don't just even share it or tweet it, but provide some type of summary along with it. Point it out. Don't just like a post and comment on it. Add your point of view and advance the conversation. Challenge the thinking. Let others grow from your knowledge and experience. You see, being well-read and well-informed is essential to having meaningful insights and carrying on thought-provoking conversations that will advance your image. Now, there's a lot of things that have been happening in the news recently, but there are some things that clearly stand out that you would think that someone who is paying attention to any element of what's going on in the nation or in the world economy or in politics and government, in any facet of the things that impact our lives, would know. For example, Snowden. Don't know who Snowden is. If you haven't a clue as to what happened in Benghazi, you don't know about a key headline hogging event in your industry. Those type of lack of knowledge reflects upon your credibility, your competence, and your diligence, especially in this information age where mobile devices have become ubiquitous and searching can be done with the touch of a button. Those are not image hits you want to take. Know what's going on in the world around you. Read about them. Study them. Have a point of view and be open to discussion. And this should go without saying, but I must say it anyway. Be consistent and authentic in your point of view. Your point of view should not be made to please a certain audience or a certain individual in a certain position. Your point of view should be based on your values, based on your own research, based on your perspective. It should reinforce your image, not contradict it, and it shouldn't leave people confused because you change it so frequently. Enough about insights. Let's talk about attitude, and specifically poor attitude. The reality is, no one wants a whiny, complaining, downer as an employee, as a peer, or as a business partner. Leave the negative at home. Make it a point to search for the positive. Bring solutions. Don't just bring problems. Even if you're not fully sure that the solution would work, at least show that you've thought about it, that you've really have tried to do some type of problem solving and engaged in some type of additional research or reflection. Step up to the plate. When things are tough, roll up your sleeves and get dirty, slogging it out in the trenches. Don't just stand back and manage or lead from the corner office. Don't just be that person who, in the midst of the crisis, try and tell everyone to keep going, but you're standing back. You need to put skin in the game. You need to be the one that is out there, that is encouraging, not just through words, but encouraging through your actions. You are setting the example. You are modeling. And that is why poor attitude, especially in leaders, is so devastating and so dangerous, because you set the tone. And if all you can find are the negatives or all the obstacles, all the reasons why something will not succeed, versus looking for the positives and what has been accomplished and the things that can be built upon, then you, quite frankly, are becoming one of the biggest obstacles to success. So, poor attitude. The third area I want to hit upon is self-centeredness. No, I don't want to hear about how great you are and all that you accomplished and all the awards that you received. I want to know how we can help each other. And if all you do is talk about you, that tells me that you don't care about helping me. You either care about getting another notch in your belt or solving your problem in a way most convenient for you, regardless of how it impacts me. I don't have time for that. Relationships are meant to be bilateral. They're not unilateral. They're not a one-way thing. Conversations imply some type of interchange, some type of interactiveness. That's why they are conversations. They're not lectures. They're not speeches. They are conversations. Even the word networking. Networking implies that you are making connections. Right? You are connecting. To connect, you need to understand how things come together. And to do that, you need to have an exchange. You need to understand and come to a common ground, find some type of commonality. That is not a one-sided venture. So self-centeredness impacts image. It lets people know whether this is all about you or whether you're really more of a team player. I said at the beginning, and I'll reiterate here as we get to about the midpoint of this podcast, you see that image includes everything. Absolutely everything. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you don't say or do. How you present yourself online and offline, how you present your company online and offline. It's reflected in the decisions that you make, in the decisions that you don't make. The reality is, when you decide not to decide, you have still made a decision. When you choose not to choose, you have made a choice. And all of these reflect upon your image. So I ask you, if you consider your whole package, not just a piece of it, but your whole package, what image do you portray? If you just took today, not even the whole week or the whole month or the whole year, if you just took today and you thought about how the attitude that you had throughout the day, thought about the insights that you delivered, thought about the relationships that you poured into or did not pour into, what does it say about you? Now extend that to this week, extend it to this past month? What are your actions? What are your decisions truly speaking about you from an image standpoint? If it's not the image you want, you're in luck, because I happen to know an image specialist that can help you fix your image problem. And no, it's not me. I can give you some advice, but the person best suited to fix your image problem is you. Look in the mirror. Tell me, what do you see? Answer these questions. What do I want my image? Or, if you're focused on your company, what do you want your company's image to be? But let's get away from this nice general terms that really don't necessarily mean a lot. We need to bring it down a level. What does this really mean in practical terms? In other words, what does this look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? How will other people experience you day in and day out? Now, look at where you're at. What's the gap? What has to change to go from where you're at to where you want to be? And how will you make that happen? What additional resources or assistance might you need? What additional development, what training, what coaching might be necessary? Contrary to many self-help books and other things that are out there, and even a lot of what we may have been taught as we grow up, asking for help, getting coaching, getting counseling if necessary, getting developmental assessments, those are not signs of weaknesses. Those are signs of strength, that you are at a point where you are ready to take control and you are ready to drive change. And that's what leaders do. You do it for yourself, you do it for other people, and you do it for your company. So then ask, when will you make this happen? A goal without an end date is just a wish and a hope. You need concrete time frames. And I encourage you to use milestones for a change that's bigger, you know, that might take a year, might take 2 years. Let's be realistic. There are some things in us that it's going to take a lot. You know, we got a lot of rough spots, myself included. So you need smaller milestones where you can see the progression and you can know that you're on the right track. You know you're on the right path. I mean, I'm training for my second half marathon, and just think, if I didn't know until I got to the finish line how far I had to go, that could be very discouraging, especially when you get tired. You know, you get tired and you're at mile 3, that's very different than getting tired and knowing that you're at mile 10. The second instance, you can push through it. You're like, I got 3 more miles to go. But when you don't know, or if you think you're at mile 3, but you're actually at mile 10, you can end up really quitting or being extremely discouraged and just disappointed, when the reality is you're very close to your goal. So set those milestones. And then make sure you know what it's going to look like and feel like when you achieve it. How will you know that you're achieving what you set out to achieve? How will you measure success? And how will you measure progress towards that success? Now, if you're wondering, or if you're sitting here saying, well, this sounds pretty basic, that these are the things and types of questions you would ask for any change, you're right. In fact, that's intentional, because changing your image is like any other change initiative. It takes deliberate thought and action over a period of time. There are no shortcuts. And there's no magic bullets. And there's nothing mysterious or mystical or fancy about it. You don't need new terminology. You don't need a whole bunch of books. You just need to get back to the basics of fundamental change that we all actually already know. So my question is, are you ready? I hope you enjoyed this snippet on the types of discussions held on image and on change within our workshops and programs. There is so much more to cover, so many exercises that you can do in this area, but our time is up, so I will leave you with this thought. When your values, vision, and mission all align, and you're humble in heart and confident in spirit, image is a much easier thing to maintain. Thank you for joining in this month, and look forward to spending time with you again next month.